you have your Bibles, let us be encouraged by the Word of God. And the title of tonight's message, Seeing and Hearing God. I'm going to look at the testimony of Brother John the Apostle, especially from the book of Revelation. Of course, God used him to write that. But the idea is, do we hear and see God in our life? Not just in the Bible. Of course, you read the Bible, it's God's Word, so we're going to see God working in the lives of people in the Bible, left and right. But do we see God and hear God in real life? Especially during the storms of life, especially during the darkest times, the roughest storms, the loneliest moments. God is there, my friends. But we can only see and hear Him when we are, and that's the term for tonight, in the Spirit. He's there, but we can only see and hear Him when we are in the Spirit. When we are in the Spirit, it's like having, I don't know, I think of it more like a sixth sense, maybe a spiritual sense, if I can kind of use that connotation, where without it, being in the Spirit, we'll have very little clue, be very unaware to the presence and power of God in our life. The only way to be in the Spirit, of course, is to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:25 reminds us, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In fact, anything that we do with God and anything that we do for God to be effectual must be in the Spirit, because the opposite is what? Flesh. Nah, that's a big no-no. Is either flesh or spirit? Either one must be in the Spirit. Whether it's our prayers, we know this, Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Worship, John 4:24, God is the Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Whether we labor for God, Colossians 1:29, wherefore I also labor, striving according to His working, obviously in the Spirit, which worketh in me mightily. Even in pleasing God, Romans 8:8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Our choices are just two, spirit, flesh. It has to be in the Spirit. And so this takes me to Book of Revelation. So this will be our main text. We'll start here in Revelation chapter 1, and we'll kind of go back and forth a bit throughout that chapter. So let's turn with me, my friends, to Revelation chapter 1. And I understand, again, of course, context. This is, of course, God using the Apostle John, and he's in the Spirit receiving a prophetic vision from God. And yes, I get that. But again, the larger application is anything that we do with and for God, okay? We have to be in the Spirit. It doesn't change that. The specifics might change of what God is tasking us to do, but our position has to be in the Spirit, not the flesh. So let's go to Revelation 1, and let's go to verse 10. We'll start here. This is John's testimony, and truly just... Oh, boy. I mean, I love every part of the Bible, every, you know, human vessel that God has used. I'm especially fond of Brother John, very down to earth, just speaking heart to heart. And here he is to us. And verse 10 says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Let us pray. Abba, Father, what a blessing to be in thy house tonight. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit of God, Father, our Comforter, that He has come, that He indwells us forever. Lord, that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us, Lord. And thank you so much for your mercy and goodness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for His shed blood on Calvary's cross and His resurrection. Thank you, Father, for your word. And Father, we thank you for the testimony of those that have gone before us, Lord, just the saints of old, as a testament to your power through them. That they are just as, you know, just as fallible as we are, just as sinful as we are. But Father, just to see these saints so yielded to you, that what you can do through them. And so, Father, we ask, truly as we sang before, may our heart be thy royal throne. And bless us tonight, Father. We give you all the praise. Help us to always be seeing and hearing from you by being in the Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 10 starts off, John simply says, I was in the Spirit. Of course, then he goes on. But even those words, I was in the Spirit, can I say this? in fact, this is how the entire book of Revelation is given to us. God uses John because, of course, he was in the Spirit. If John was living in the flesh, even though he was saved, okay, but perhaps he was backslidden or living in sin, of course, God won't use him. He used someone else, okay? But this certainly wouldn't be written to us by using John to write this to us. The whole book of Revelation comes to us because John, praise God, by God's mercy, was in the Spirit. He says, I was in the Spirit. Notice, I mean, how much we would have missed out. John would have missed out if he wasn't in the Spirit. To understand this, may we apply this to us. What would I be missing out if I was in the flesh, not in the Spirit? In fact, if you go to verse 1, this is how God intends to use John. Praise God, he was in the Spirit, and God used him in his fashion. But Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants, that's plural, that's all believers, things which must shortly come to pass. And so this was God's grand plan. Wow, wonderful. And to execute it, he uses one man, just one guy. Praise God, he's in the Spirit. Now again, this is not just to point fingers at John and say, good for him. But may we apply it to ourselves, because God has grand plans, but may we be used of God, but only when we are in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Because notice the rest of verse 1, and he sent, signified it by his angel, unto his servant, John. Praise God, John is in the Spirit. Amen. By the way, of course, he was in exile when it happened. Of course, praise God, he's, even though there's hardships, he was not discouraged. He was in the Spirit. Speaking about John, who bear record of the word of God, not just in Revelation, but 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of John. I mean, so he's been doing this already. What a brother in Christ. That's what he does. He bears record saying, hey, this is true. This is really true, guys. This is what's going to happen. This is the truth. And of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Again, context is spiritual. Obviously, it's not everything he saw. This is everything that matters. Everything spiritual. Everything of God that he saw. And here's the exhortation to you and I. Blessed is he. Now, John's writing this, so to you and I. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. Context is in the Spirit. Because if we are in the flesh, we can audibly hear it, but it won't resonate with us. It won't stick with us. It won't grow and blossom in our lives. It was just in one ear, out one ear. So the context is always spiritual. Remember, any interaction, anything that we do with God, for God, has to be in the Spirit. Otherwise, it's just going through the motions. Otherwise, it's just faking it. It'll just get burnt up at the judgment seat of Christ. It has to be, I have to be in the Spirit. When I read the Word of God, I have to be in the Spirit. When I pray, I have to be in the Spirit. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. If you want to be blessed, as we read this prophecy and keep it, got to be in the Spirit. And keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. When I'm in the Spirit, this would mean something to me. Like, wow, this is, yeah, the time is at hand. Either Jesus is coming back, or I'm going to him, whichever happens first, right? I think of my father-in-law. He knew that the time is at hand. Serve the Lord. And so what a reminder. Now, praise God, John was in the Spirit. And so he could be used of God to share this to us. Of course, I know God, you know, if John wasn't, he would use someone else or whatever the case is. But praise God for that. He got to be a blessing to us. Look at verse 9. John, again, speaking about himself. Now, John is not some, he's not Mr. Infallible. He's a fellow sinner. Look at how John speaks of himself in verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother. I mean, he's a brother in Christ. He's a sinner saved by grace. He struggles with temptations like you and I do. He's a fellow sinner and companion in tribulation. You got hardships? John says, hey, I got hardships too. And in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. He's serving Christ, waiting, persevering for the kingdom of God. Here's where he was at this time, at this moment, been here for a while, was in the isle that is called Patmos. What was he doing there? Going on vacation? No, he wasn't. For the word of God, he was exiled here for the word of God. In other words, for doing God's will, for preaching the word of God, he was exiled there, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, because he wasn't just all talk, he lived it too. I mean, John's the whole deal. Again, a brother in Christ, a fellow sinner, fallible just like you and I, but in the Spirit. This is huge. Verse 10, I was in the Spirit. This is our main verse, of course. Hallelujah. In fact, he continues to be in the Spirit throughout the whole, probably more than just the writing of this, his whole testimony by God's grace. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and because John was in the Spirit. First half of verse 10, the second half of verse 10 can happen. And heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. God is going to speak to him. Again, this is a spiritual experience, okay? This is him to God. God is a spirit. God is relating to him. He has to be in the spirit. And so because John was in the spirit, he could, number one, hear God. He can hear God. Okay, now we're going to apply this to us. We need to be in the spirit to hear God. Otherwise, we won't. We need to be in the spirit to see God. Otherwise, when we're in hard times, all we're going to see are the waves like Peter saw, right? He saw the waves, the storm, it starts sinking. Lord Jesus, save me, okay? And so we have to be in the spirit. Otherwise, all we're going to see is bad things in life. But when we are in the spirit, we're going to see the glory of God that overshadows, is going to drown out those storms, okay? And so because John was in the spirit, he could hear the Lord. And again, more than just audibly, hear him in the heart. And may this apply to us, saying, I am Alpha and Omega. That's a wonderful thing to hear from God. God telling us he's the first and the last. And we go, amen to that. And what thou seest, write in the book, send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, unto Laodicea. Because he can hear God, he's being used of God. He's receiving instructions from God. This is so wonderful. Too often, even Christians, or especially Christians, you know, we are saved, but we're like, well, I wonder what God wants me to do. If we are in the Spirit, we'll know. Because God will speak to us. And we are in the Spirit when we read the Word of God. It's not just, oh, I don't know what I'm reading here. God is speaking to us, we'll know. And so John knows. He's got, yes, sir. He's got instructions. And then look at verse 12. Because he's in the Spirit, number one, he hears God, compels him to turn. Look at verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Of course, he's going to see the vision of the Lord. The idea is for you and I, the application. Again, this is mostly application because we're not John, okay? But the teaching here is when we are in the spirits, when we are in the spirit, singular Holy Spirit of God, we can hear God, we can see God. May this be our testimony in our Christian walk here on planet Earth. And so because of him being in the spirit, what does he see? Now, he is, in verse 9, in hardships. He is exiled to Patmos, can be a lonely life, okay? But he's rejoicing, and this is what he sees because he is in the spirit. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle wrapped around his body. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet were like unto fine brass, as if they burn in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. This is quite kind of, I'm getting goosebumps, okay? And I'm just reading his description, but I can't even imagine how John would be. Praise God. And I don't know if he thought this, you know, but if I happen to put myself in his shoes as I'm beholding the glory of God, I'll be thanking God. Thank God. Thank you, Lord, that I'm in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that I can see this. Kind of like, you know, Peter and James and John, they went up to the Mount of Transfiguration. They kind of think, praise God that I'm in the Spirit to witness this. And so what a blessing, again, especially when we're going through hardships. If we are not in the Spirit, all we're going to see are the dark storms. All we're going to feel are the loneliness of at night. But when we are in the Spirit, we'll see the glory of God that brightens the darkest cloud in our life, right? And then verse 16, and he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. That's the word of God. His countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And so at the brightest, all you can do is barely, you can squint. Otherwise, you just burn your eyeballs out. I mean, this is how glorious the glory of God is. And because John was in the spirit, he could hear and see the Lord. And so what happened because of that? It's all a chain effect. None of this would happen. It won't even start. There would be no, you know, it'd be a book of Revelation maybe by someone else. But without John being in the spirit, God won't use this, won't use him for this. But because he was, look at verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He didn't die. He's just saying he fell down to worship. Okay, so he completely yielded himself. He fell down and worshiped. When we are in the spirit, we see and hear God. That will cause us to truly, truly worship God. And not just that. What else? What was John's encouragement? Because he was in the spirit, how was he encouraged? And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. Wow, what an encouragement. Again, not just through some prophet, not just through some, again, nothing to, you know, praise God for brothers and sisters in Christ. Again, but this is a personal encouragement from God himself to John. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. I mean, this is, whew, what a, when we are in the spirit, we hear God, we see God, we have no fear. His glory brightens our days. We're right close to God. Couldn't get any closer. What a testimony. When we are in the spirit, God uses us. Look at verse 19. We kind of read this before in the previous verses, but look at verse 19. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. By the way, verse 19 is not just a task to do. It is a supernatural task. Because he's asking John to write visions. Okay, so we know this. But the idea, of course, if John just say, well, if he writes to the churches, it was another lonely day on the island of Patmos. Pretty cloudy today. A lot of ravens around me. They've been kind of, you know, having a lot of droppings lately. And if he writes just in carnal things, it's not going to have any impact. The idea here, he's writing spiritual things because he's in the spirit, right? What a joy. All because John was in the spirit. In fact, if you fast forward with me to chapter 4 here, John is, guess what? Still in the spirit. If you go to verse 1, chapter 4, Revelation, let's go to verse 1. Because John was in the spirit, guess what? He could go where God wants him to go. Verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Yes, I get it. It's a prophetic vision, but the application is to us. When we are in the spirit, we go where God wants us to go. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me. This is the Lord, a personal invite, which said, come up hither. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I knew it was God's calling for us to go to Weston, where we did Weston Baptist Church. Praise God. But come up hither. Come here. Come here. Yes, Lord, here I am. And I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Amen. He sees what God wants him to see. He hears what God wants him to hear. He goes where God wants him to hear. Now, when we are in the spirit, this is the only way to respond to God. In fact, this is how John writes to the seven churches. I mean, this is what Jesus tells him to write. And then he tells him to, in fact, it's very specific. Because when you look at what Jesus tells John to write to the seven churches, it's not just a, you know, not just a cookie cutter template. It's very specific to each church. No way John made it up on his own. This is divine revelation from God. Jesus Christ is using John as the head of the church to tell John, hey, tell these churches this is what they're doing well, but this is what I have ought against them. And it only happened because John was in the Spirit. So, let's go to Revelation chapter 2. Notice here with me, Revelation chapter 2. Okay, so now John is writing to the seven churches. God is using John. But what's John's admonition? What's he encouraging? Look at verse 7. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. So he gives the, you know, gives the praise, but also the warning to the church here at Ephesus. Look at verse 7. He that hath an ear, now of course this is a physical ear, let him hear, but this is through the Spirit, right? Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So who's talking? I mean, John's talking, but John is telling them to listen to the Holy Spirit. Then, and again, even though John's writing, it is God's word. So this is the sword of the Spirit. John is writing the scriptures, the sword of the Spirit, and he's telling the churches to listen, not to man, not to the pastor, listen to the Spirit, say what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And then the promise, if they do, to him that overcometh will a gift to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Look at verse 11. Another church, at Smyrna. He that hath an ear, the idea is everyone. Everyone's got ears. So that's the context. Everyone, listen up, but listen in the Spirit. You've got to be in the Spirit like John is, like John was. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the who? Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. What about verse 17? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth saving he that receiveth it. again, in the Spirit, in the hear what the Spirit saith, what the Spirit saith, what the Spirit saith. Verse 29 of same chapter, chapter 2, Revelation, the last verse. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I don't mean to beat a dead horse here, but I might as well just go the rest of it here. The idea is we can only hear what the Spirit saith when we are in the Spirit. So chapter 3 with me, verse 6. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 13. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 22. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The only way that we can listen to the Spirit, what he is saying to us, the comforter that indwells us, is if we are in the Spirit. Amen. And how to listen to the Spirit? We have to be in the Spirit. And how to be in the Spirit? Walk in the Spirit. We read that earlier, Galatians 5:25. Walk in the Spirit through faith, through the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Praise God. May we be in the Spirit. And so when we are in the Spirit, we see God, we hear God. God glory, His glory would by God's grace drown out the bad things that we hear. You know, would make fade away the darkest clouds. Will be the light that, of the sun that is at its brightest moment, even in our darkest of times. John is himself the not say the poster child, but he's the example of what can happen when a Christian, a fellow brother in Christ, is in the Spirit. Won't we desire to be in the Spirit? Amen. And by the way, if we seek Him with our whole heart, He will be found of us. Let us pray. Abba, Father, what a comfort to know that You love us, that You've given us Your Spirit, that He indwells us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And so, Father, we are so thankful for Your goodness and mercy to us. Help us to be found in the Spirit. Help me to say like John does, I was in the Spirit. And then this happened, to be used of You miraculously, supernaturally. And Father, we love You. We ask that you would meet with us now, and that we would be in the Spirit as we pray, as whenever we worship, that we will worship in spirit and in truth, Father. And Lord, we love You. We ask Your blessing on Northside Baptist Church and her people. We give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.